This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Eric Huffschmidt, and we're going to be talking about what happened on 9/11. The fact that those buildings, the Twin Towers, came down, but not just that the Twin Towers came down. The government has a very good explanation for that. But the Building 6 came down. Building 7 came down. Why did those buildings come down, looking like the standard explosions that when they're taking out a hotel in Reno? It almost looks like they're explosive charges at the bottom. Has there any other instance in all history in the United States when there's been a fire in a skyscraper and it's collapsed? That two of them have collapsed? That four of them have collapsed? Well, our guest today, Eric Huffschmidt, has raised those questions as to what really happened. Have we been told the truth? Why were the investigators not allowed to look at the evidence? Because there were people who were supposed to investigate, but they weren't allowed in there, were they, Eric?
No. They had a lot of trouble. They could get in. They had checkpoints at the area because it was all fenced off, and a lot of them had trouble just getting in. There are even reports that some of them were delayed by hours just to get through all the checkpoints. But the construction crews who had the torches and were cutting the metal up, they didn't have such trouble.
Well, now, the other thing is, why was it so hot? I mean, ordinarily a fire burns and then it goes out. But this fire seemed to burn and burn. And how long did that fire burn there at the World Trade Center?
Oh, after it collapsed, you mean?
After it collapsed, right.
Right. After it collapsed, there were fires burning for months. And they were spraying water on it the whole time. Sometimes it even rained. And yet here this rubble is just pouring smoke and steam out for months. And so the question is, what could possibly have created so much heat when there were only a couple floors on fire to begin with? And not only that, but when you consider that these were steel-framed buildings with concrete floors, the only thing that's flammable were things like office furnishings and some carpeting. I mean, there's not that much stuff in those floors anyway.
And then when you want to put out a fire, what you do is you smother it. You take your coat and you beat the fire out. Well, here you've got all this cement and dust just descending on there, so that the fire certainly would have been smothered if it had been a normal fire.
Right. You'd have to wonder that. Why would what is burning down there when there's not much oxygen? You got dust all over the place, steel all over. So there was something going on. It looks like a tremendous amount of heat, because NASA flew an airplane 5 days after the collapse, and they were measuring surface temperatures, you know, from the airplane, and they're getting temperatures in two spots that were above the melting point of aluminum. Now, this is at the surface of this rubble, and this is after firemen have been spraying this rubble with water. So we've got surface temperatures that are unbelievable 5 days later, and you have to wonder what's underneath if the surface is this hot. And where is this heat coming from? What caused all this heat?
All right,
it's a real mystery.
All right, well, you hold that thought. We're going to just bring some of our other stations on board here. Our guest is Eric Huffschmidt, and we're going to be talking about the book and the video that he's put together, and we're even going to be talking about a talk he's going to be giving at the Conspiracy Conference over the Memorial Day weekend. But we'll tell you more about that later in our program, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Eric Hufschmidt, and we're talking about the book he's written, the video he's put together, on the coming down of the buildings of the World Trade Center. Now, we've been told, oh, well, this is a normal thing. The planes just crash in there. There's a fire. The fuel caused the fire, and we saw it burning there. And then, of course, it just melted the steel, and then, of course, it caused the buildings to collapse. And you might be able to convince people that that's what happened unless you really studied it very carefully. And we're going to talk to Eric about what he's found from studying the pictures of what happened. But there is no way you can get that to explain what happened to Building 6. There is no way you can get that to explain what happened to Building 7, when did the Building 7 come down? That was fairly late in the evening, wasn't it?
Right. It was about 5:20 in the evening. It suddenly just crumbled in about 10 seconds.
And, of course, it really started at the bottom. It didn't start up at the top where the fires were burning. Oh, we're told their fires were burning down at the bottom, too, and that's why it went down just like somebody had put in explosives at the bottom. If you've ever seen the pictures, and we actually have that. Do you have that in your video that shows Building 7 coming down?
Yes, and in the book. But what you cannot see very easily are the fires. I've got one photo, a full page on page 63, that shows only a couple fires and only a couple of the floors of this 47-story building. And so when you look at these tiny little fires, you have to wonder, how did this cause the entire building to crumble into dust?
And, of course, how did the fire start in that building? After all, I mean, it wasn't hit by an airplane. Well, maybe it was falling embers, we're told. Do you believe that? Falling embers on the top of the building started the fires inside the building?
Right. That's what they basically are saying, well, we don't really know. The FEMA report is even saying they don't know what caused the fires. They don't know what caused the collapse. So what the government's doing is just playing dumb. They're saying, well, we don't know. And let's just move on to some other issue, basically, is what they're saying.
After all, we're at war with terrorism, so don't ask what really happened that day. Just trust us that nothing did happen. And if you want to understand that it was all played out ahead of time, you need to get the report of the National Committee on Terrorism, the so-called Bremer Committee report. For those of you who don't know who Paul Bremer is, he is the current dictator over there, and the civilian administrator, I guess, is what they call him in Iraq. But he actually prepared a report that explained how you would confuse the American people, that just the bumbling idiocy of the bureaucracy was responsible for Pearl Harbor. We'll be right back here. Well, our guest this afternoon is Eric Hufschmidt, and I want to tell you that he's going to be talking at the Conspiracy Conference, which is going to be held in Santa Clara on the 29th and 30th of May. That's Memorial Day. It's about 6 or 7 weeks from now, and he's going to be showing you the videos he has. He's going to be talking about the buildings coming down, and there are going to be a lot of interesting guests there. Joyce Riley is going to be there. Rodney Stitch is going to be there. Len Horwitz is going to be there. I'm going to be there, but they won't let me speak. But I will have a table there, a booth. We had one last year, and it was a lot of fun. Some very interesting people. I wouldn't say I agreed with all of them, but I would think that most of them have something very important to say. So if you'd like to know more about the conspiracy conference that's going to be held on Memorial Day weekend, why don't you call 209-832-7500. That's 209-832-7500. And find out more about it, or go to their website at conspiracycon.com. That's conspiracycon.com. So, Eric, why don't you pick up and tell us how you got interested in studying the coming down of the buildings? Because everybody wants to move on. They want to forget about what happened that day, and they want to ask about a lot of other questions. And yet, that is one of the major questions that is certainly not being addressed by any of these various commissions that are looking into what really happened that day. Why did Building 6 and 7 come down? Indeed, why did the Twin Towers come down where there's no incidents in all history of a nation being, a skyscraper being hit or even having an explosion or a fire and that building coming down the way this did?
Well, yes, these are interesting questions. I think one of the reasons many people don't even ask these questions is that they kept Building 7 a secret. Almost nobody seems to know what Building 7 was, or that it even collapsed. And so one of the reasons they're getting people to just move on to other issues is by not letting this out in the news. And so most people don't even know about it. And Building 6 has a big hole in the center, which nobody's ever really explained. And so what they're doing is basically just ignoring it, playing dumb, and moving on. And that's why no one's talking about it. That's why they're not even bringing it up at these meetings at the government right now.
Sure, we just have no idea how it happened. It just sort of happened. This 46-story building just collapsed, just like it's somebody had put out there demolition charges. But we know that didn't happen.
Right. And there's a lot of information they've just been keeping from us. Like, you know, it was more than 1 year later, it was in November of 2002, that they finally released some radio reports that the firemen had sent back. You know, as the firemen were climbing up into these towers to put the fires out, they had radios, and they were giving reports back.
My understanding is they were saying the fires were almost out here.
Right. They had made their way up to the South Tower fire zone, and they weren't even... upset. They were just saying, yeah, there's a fire here, fire there, we'll put them out. They're not that big, basically, is what they were saying.
So,
and they were walking around in it. So how hot could it possibly be? If they're walking around, it's not hot enough to kill a human being, yet they're saying these fires are hot enough to bring down a steel building?
Well, it was to melt the steel. That was what we were told. Oh, they melted the steel, the steel cores, and that's how it all happened.
Right, and yet we got people inside walking around in this fire zone, and some are just walking down the stairs right past it. So you have to wonder, if the people are walking around, how hot could it be? And then, when you get that together with the intense heat from the rubble, how did all of a sudden the rubble get so hot when the buildings weren't that hot to begin with?
Well,
so what it all looks like is that explosives had been placed up and down the building and even in the basement. And that's what brought the building down, and that is where the heat came from. Because explosives can reach temperatures beyond the melting point of steel.
But that would mean that the terrorists would have to gotten in there and actually put all those explosives in that building with nobody would have seen them. And that could only have been done by people working in the building.
Right. It would require that somehow they get control of the security and maintenance departments and of all three buildings, both towers and Building 7. And, of course, Building 6 has a hole in it, so we have to wonder, maybe they put something in there, too.
Well, I've heard some stories that the man who owned the buildings had made a comment on television, and Alex Jones has talked about that, saying, well, they decided that they would just take down Building 7 because they were afraid it might be structurally damaged. Did you hear that story?
Yes, he makes this remark that he got a call from the fire department, and they were saying that they may not be able to put the fires out in Building 7. And so Silverstein says he suggested that they pull it. His expression is pull it, which is what some people in the demolition business will describe a building as being taken down.
But, of course, he didn't actually say take it down. He just said pull it.
Right. But then, in the next sentence, he says, and they made that decision, and we watched the building collapse. So he's implying that the fire department decided that afternoon to demolish the building rather than put those little teeny fires out, and without bothering to tell the tenants to get their stuff out of the building first. I mean, what he's saying is so ridiculous.
Yeah, but, of course, this has really been suppressed, other than alternative radio, and I know Alex Jones has had this, and I've had a number of emails, and people even have clips, apparently. This was on television or radio, and you can actually find those up on the Internet at Alex Jones' website.
Right. PBS put this on. The interesting thing is, what I find, is that most of us who realize this whole attack is a scam hardly ever see television. And so this was broadcast a long time ago. It took almost a year for us to realize he had put this out right on television.
But how could they keep that from the American people if it was on television and you could actually go to Alex Jones' website and see it now? In other words, they must have tremendous control over the major networks and ultimately then over what the American people think. And so while we're watching Martha Stewart, while we're watching Toby Bryant, while we're watching Lacey Peterson's the trial of Scott Peterson for the murder of Lacey Peterson, you mean that they're concealing things from us so we don't hear about the truth?
Well, yes, some of us are not even watching much TV because we're so disgusted by it, but the majority of people, they may see these remarks, but then they're easily distracted with the Michael Jacksons and other stuff. And so, you know, it just passes by them. And the regular news networks will never bring this up. So, I mean, Silverstein made this remark. It's on a PBS documentary that people can even order from PBS. But the normal news networks will never bring something like this up. They'll instead bring up Michael Jackson or Martha Stewart and entertain people that way and distract them rather than bring up these issues like what went on September 11th. So it does look like there is some tremendous control over the media.
Well, we've been saying that for 40 years, but that's why I do what I do, because at least I want a voice so we can get the truth out to those people all across America, indeed all across the world, who are listening to this shortwave or internet or local radio station broadcast. So, well, now tell me about the material you put together. And I've read your book. I haven't seen the video, but I am looking forward to seeing it there in May 29th and 30th. When are you going to be speaking?
Oh, it will be on the Sunday on the 29th, and I'll be talking about this, you know, the 9/11 attack, plus some of the related issues, like how they're getting away with it all.
All right, well, let's get into what you've actually found in your pictures, analysis of the pictures. Where did you get your pictures? Were they from the video?
Well, no, some of the photos are on the Internet, and then some I just had to buy from Reuters and Associated Press. Which, of course, is another interesting issue. Like some of those spectacular ones, that sequence of five on page 52 through 57, that sequence of the South Tower coming down, those are Reuters photos. And normally Time and Newsweek, they all fight for the greatest cover photos. And yet, look at these photos. You know, nobody's ever seen these before unless they've seen my book. Why aren't they rushing to put this on their cover? And the reason is, if you look closely at them, you can see this does not support the government theory. So here's all these spectacular photos that most people don't even know about. The conventional media is ignoring them. So what I have in my book is a lot of the photos and information that you just can't find anywhere else.
Well, let me just comment for our listeners. If you get the latest copy of my newsletter, I simply quote from Lieutenant General William Odom, former head of NSA, the most secret of all the secret intelligence organizations in the United States. And, of course, he's under restrictions on what he can say. So in his book that was published last year, he asked the questions, should the CIA be able to have agents planted as journalists in the media? And then elsewhere, a few pages later, he says, well, I don't want to talk about it. I'm not going to bother to talk about this. It was brought out in the 1980 about the CIA having agents planted in the media as journalists. So they're there. What are they doing? Why, they're controlling what you think. They're removing certain pictures because a picture's worth a thousand words, and especially if it really would raise questions about what really happened there on September 11th. Because the implications of this, it doesn't mean that even that the administration knew what was happening, but it means that people working within our intelligence agencies, like the CIA, know what was happening, and this has happened before. Certainly, they did not brief President Kennedy on their plan to assassinate him. And there's no question in my mind that the CIA was involved in that. If you have any question, you need to get our four tape sets on the Kennedy assassination. Certainly we know that, or at least we were told that President Reagan was not told about some of the Iran-Contra deals and some of the other deals that were carried out by Admiral Poindexter and Oliver North. They just sort of did this thing on their own, and they did not tell the president, so he could never be held responsible. Could it be that's what happened on the morning of September 11th? Is this why there's so much evidence that somebody has been pulling information to keep it from the American people? I don't know. But, Eric, go ahead and tell us more about what these pictures show.
Well, the pictures are showing that these buildings are turning into dust immediately. There's no time delay. As soon as they start to fall, dust is flying out of the buildings at extreme velocity, horizontally.
And the thing is that when we see other buildings come down, we may see a little dust at the bottom, but we've never seen a dust cloud like that before, have we?
No, these look like fireworks that someone lit, and then there is exploding. And so it's a sign that there's high pressure in there pushing this dust out. These are not something just falling through the air. There is something pushing the dust out. And what can do that except explosives? As it increases the air pressure
Hold that thought right there. We'll be back in just a moment with Eric Hutchins.
Tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. You might as well tie up cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000. 4,000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and I want to tell you about the Miracle 2 soap products we carry. We can't make any health claims for them. We can only tell you that a lot of people who use these soaps and the gel and the lotion and the neutralizer tell us all sorts of wonderful stories about how it has helped them, and I just couldn't tell you in good conscience what the stories that we get, because we have no double-blind studies. All we know is that people love these products, and many people will tell us that they have helped their rashes or they helped their acne or my wife wouldn't be without the gel because she uses for everything imaginable, and it really seems to help. So all we can do is say that try it, you might like it, and you can get the special introductory offer of the Miracle 2 soap products, the soap, the moisturizing soap, the gel, the lotion, and the neutralizing solution by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this afternoon is Eric Schmidt, and people don't like to think about disquieting things, but it is entirely possible that the intelligence community did this on their own. We do know, if you read the book See No Evil, which we carry, written by Robert Baer, who was actually a CIA agent, and he says that one of the highest-ranking people in the CIA had told a personal friend of his, off the record, that when the dust settles after 9/11, the American people will realize that what happened that day was not a failure for intelligence, but a triumph. Well, you might say, well, how could the death of 3,000 people be a triumph? told us how we were going to get the American people to go to war. This is what it's all about. You think that the American people would have been willing to go to the war over in the Middle East if it had been for what happened on September 11th? And we know that the CIA was working on a plan by which they were going to be able to go after Al-Qaeda, by which they were going to be able to take us to war in the Middle East. That's what it was all about. That's the plan. And if you doubt that, you need to go back and read the writings of the PNAC group, the Project for the New American Century, on their website, newamericancentury.org. Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, John Bolton, writing back in 1998 about how we had to take out Saddam's regime. No talk about weapons of mass destruction. No talk about terrorism. We just had to take out Saddam Hussein. Why? Well, that's why you need to get a copy of my latest newsletter. But, Eric, let's go on with your story talking about this dust. And this is totally unexplained. What that was dust, where did the dust come from, and why was it, it was really weeks, wasn't it, after that, that it was still so hot, it was hardly, people were hardly able to go in and remove the rubble?
Right, it was hot in some spots for months. It was, you know, near the edge, the firemen could pick the rubble up, but in the center and underneath some of that rubble, it was incredible. There are even reports from some of the crew that when they finally got down into the basement, they found molten steel, which is extremely difficult to explain because an ordinary office fire and even jet fuel is incapable of melting steel. So if they really found molten steel as they're claiming, then we have to explain that with something like explosives.
Yeah, well, it have to be even very, very special explosives. More, even normal explosives wouldn't do that. It'd have to be thermal explosives of some sort.
Yeah, they'd have to, well, yeah, they'd have to, you wouldn't be just mixing some fuel oil and fertilizer like they said with Tim McVeigh. All the evidence is pointing to something inside these buildings like explosives. The clouds of dust, they were analyzed by the government scientists, and they were saying it's, you know, that what you'd expect, drywall, concrete, bits of stuff from the building itself. But where did it come from? How does a building just falling down pulverize all of its concrete? You know, there's no chunks of it anywhere. You would think that if the building cracked at the place where the planes hit, you know, you'd get some big chunks falling down and it'd be some twisted pieces of steel frame and big chunks of floor and big pieces of elevator shafts and stairways, but you don't see that. Rubble shows, it looks like it was went through a shredding machine. The entire building, both towers, it looks like they went through a shredding machine.
Well, we're told, you know, what happened was it was sort of like a floor collapsing on the next floor, collapsing on the next floor. If you've ever seen how they put up a lift slab building, they pour all of the floors ahead of time with some paper or something in between them, and then they jack up one at a time, and that's how they put up a lift slab building. And I assume this is how they put this building up. But, you know, when it came down, it would come down very similar, and you'd have all these slabs there. But you didn't have any slabs. They were all pulverized. You would think those at the very top that did not have a great deal of pressure on them. But they were pulverized, too. Everything was pulverized. And of course, why the heat? Why Building 6? Why Building 7? And nobody ever wants to ask those questions. Why did they lock the doors to the roof so nobody could escape to the roof and get out that way? Because that's what happened when the first World Trade Center buildings went down. People got on the roof and helicopters came and rescued them. But there was to be no rescue from here because they locked the doors to the roof because they said, oh, we were afraid people would go up there and jump off. Or was that the real reason? Why, you know, there's so many unanswered questions, and they're not asking any of the right questions at these hearings that you're seeing. It's all showbiz. It's all for the entertainment of the American people. But why don't they ask the questions, the really important questions, as to why there were no helicopters there that morning guarding the buildings when they knew that there was a threat of a terrorist attack hijacking airplanes the president had known from the date of August 6th on. If he knew that they were going to hijack our planes, why didn't he order simply to lock the cockpit doors? Why didn't they arm the pilots? Why didn't they have marshals on the planes, or at least National Guard? They had lots of National Guardmen they could have mobilized, but they didn't do any of the things you'd ordinarily do if you were trying to prevent the hijacking.
Well, let me tell you about some of the four tape sets we have. One special tape set is the Tuskegee Study, and it's four interviews with people who were involved with the Tuskegee Study, or at least who've gone into the background of this really most horrible of all American experimentation. We had the unique opportunity to interview a number of the men who were involved in analyzing the Tuskegee Study, a government-sponsored study where 400 black men were recruited, and they had syphilis, and of course, what they did not understand is that they were not being recruited to be treated, they were being recruited not to be treated, and the government agents did everything they could to block those men from receiving treatment for their syphilis. Call today at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's important that you understand that study so you can better understand the mentality of the men who are working behind the scenes in America today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and you know, it was very interesting yesterday. All of the major networks stopped their regular programming so that we could watch Condoleezza Rice testify before the 9-1-1 Commission. Now, the last time we saw anything like that was with the O.J. Simpson trial, where they stopped all the regular networks so that we could see the O.J. Simpson trial day after day after day. What was that all about? Why, it was to create a barrier between black and white, to create hatreds between black and white, and the blacks all thought that O.J. Simpson was framed, which he was. Now, that isn't to say maybe they didn't frame a guilty man, but they did frame him, and as they said, if the gloves don't quit, you got to acquit, and the gloves didn't fit. All the whites felt he was guilty, and all the blacks felt he wasn't. And they played those games with our minds. This is why when all the networks show one thing, you have to ask yourself why they're doing it. We have a wonderful four tape set. It's called O.J. Simpson. There are very, very few people really interested in the O.J. Simpson trial. But we have four interviews with four authors, who each one writing from a different point of view. One of them writes from the point of view of a man who was contacted from a man from the hit squad that took out O.J. Simpson's wife. You can listen to the story. I believe he's a very sincere individual, and he claims he was told that they killed Simpson's wife because they wanted to get a race war going in the United States. Others were written by people who were contacted by people in the police force, going into how they were altering the evidence to make sure O.J. was convicted. Fascinating four-tape set is called O.J. Simpson. You have to understand that there really are evil and diabolical people in the world today. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Get the O.J. Simpson four-tape set. You'll never look at the world quite the same afterwards. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Eric Huffschmidt. And Eric, how can people get your video? How can they get your book?
Well, they could just go right from the Internet and get it at my website, which is my name with a .net after it, so it's just E-R-I-C-H-U-F, like Frank, S like Sam, C-H-M-I-D.
Eric Huffschmidt, right.
Or they can, if they want to call a number, there are some places like Alex Jones that's selling it, or the Power Hour radio show, and where Joyce Riley's at. And if they want a number, it's 877-817-9829.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Daryl, who's calling us from Pennsylvania. Hi, Daryl. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan and Eric. And I have Eric's book and video, Painful Questions and Painful Deceptions. I would urge folks to get them through Eric or through, like you said, Dave and Joyce or Alex Jones. And I don't know about most Americans, but Dr. Stan, I'm getting a little tired of all the cover-ups and deceptions. And I love great books, and you offer so many through Radio Liberty. Can I just mention three of my favorite, and they all tie in with what you're talking about?
Sure, you go right ahead.
Number one is Medusa Files that you have by Lieutenant Colonel Craig Roberts, and if people want to read about cover-ups and government media orchestrated cover-ups, they can certainly find that about TWA 800 and other Pan Am. I forget the flight number on that one.
And not only that, but it even went into the fact that there was one or two train derailments that were done by the terrorists, and the government covered it up because they didn't want the American people to know about the terrorists or that we were monitoring them. We had been going all the way back to 1988. It wasn't until September 11th that most people became aware of the fact we had terrorist cells all over the United States.
And the Medusa Files also covers the horrible story of our MIA POW issue. And another book Dr. Stan is into, The Buzzsaw, and there you can read story after story of people in the media that tried to get information out, like Monica, was it Jensen?
Monica Jensen Stevenson, right.
Right. That so many of them that tried to get information out, in her case, about the POW-MIA issue,
yeah,
and just had editors above them squash those stories, and eventually most of them were forced out of their job.
No, the first publisher wouldn't disseminate the books after a certain period of time. Somebody gave orders, so she got the copyright back, moved to Canada, and got it published up there. We got some of the copies, and then somebody came in and bought up the publishing house. And could you believe it? They just accidentally shredded 5,000 copies of her book. She honestly believes it was just an accident. Somebody pushed the wrong button. Whoops, they're all gone. So you can't get her book anymore. Kiss the boys goodbye. But if you can find a copy, it'll break your heart.
And Dr. Stan, the third book that I recommend everyone is the one you wrote, and that's Brotherhood of Darkness. Because secret societies have so much influence in society, they foment revolutions and wars, and I believe that they're getting ready to do another one just like they did in the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution, and I think America's in their crosshairs now. So I do urge folks to support Radio Liberty by buying the great informational tools that you offer, Dr. Stan. And I thank you both for the information that you're putting out, and God bless you.
Well, God bless you, too. Thanks so very much, Daryl. Okay, that's Daryl calling from Pennsylvania. Well, Eric, you know, as you tell this story across America, I know you do a lot of radio programs and speaking tours. Do you think that the average American can really, in their own mind, imagine that there would be people wicked enough to know that the attack was coming and allow it to happen?
Well, I'm sure there are some that could allow it. If you mean like some of the government officials, that's what some people are implying, that maybe Bush did, that they allowed it to happen. But I would say that if you look at my book, you're going to see it's more than just allowing it. They did it. And the Arabs that are being blamed for this are actually just patsies. I don't think some of them even knew what was going on. The ones that were taking the flight school lessons, for example, they appear to have just been taking the lessons for their, you know, just to make, for the show, to make it look like they're becoming pilots, but they were not even really paying much attention to what they were doing. I don't think they understood what was going on.
Well, there's a lot of difference between flying a Cessna airplane and flying a 747, and you wonder, you know, are these great big airplanes, and you see some of the maneuvers that were made. I've heard seasoned pilots say, I couldn't have done what those planes did, and so you wonder what really did happen that day.
Well, especially at the Pentagon, because they're saying that the pilot came in inches above cars on the highway and then dropped to inches above the grass. Now, at 400 miles an hour, I don't think even the best Air Force pilot could take one of those big airplanes and fly it in a city as densely populated as Washington, D.C. Supposedly, he was knocking down light poles. This is how low to the ground he was. Knocking down light poles, flying inches above cars and grass at 400 miles an hour in a big passenger jet, a Boeing 757.
And, of course, if anybody who's read my newsletter, we simply quote it from Norman Mineta's testimony. That's Norman Mineta, Secretary of Transportation. If any of you would like to see this, we can send you a copy of it. But he testified before the 911 commission on the 23rd of May, I think it was, of last year. And he said that he was down in the bunker beneath the White House at that time. He was there with Dick Cheney. And, of course, an aide rushes in and says the plane is 50 miles out. That's the plane that's going to hit the Pentagon. And then the aide rushes in a few minutes later and says the plane is 30 miles out. And then he rushes in and says the plane is 10 miles out. Do the orders still stand? And the vice president whipped his neck around and said, of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary? And then Mineta said, I didn't understand what they were talking about. Well, nobody there at that commission wanted to know what those orders were. And I think that that's a very, very a legitimate sort of question. What were the orders that morning? Why did they mobilize planes over from Lockland Air Force Base and send them out over the Atlantic and then have them come back? You know, this is only 3 minutes by air from the Air Force Base to Washington, D.C., but they sent them out over the Atlantic, and then they had them fly at subsonic speeds. You know, maybe they even stopped off for breakfast on the way in. They could have been there in 3 minutes, or 105 miles at 30 miles an hour, maybe 4 minutes at the most, but they didn't let them come. Why would they send them over the Atlantic? Why would they let them have the afterburners burning? And nobody wants to ask those questions commission meetings, but we've got the commission hearings, and we'll be telling you about that in this month's newsletter. Go ahead, Eric. So we really see some very, very strange things. Tell us about what these pictures actually show. They actually show things being thrown out from the building, don't they?
Right. The dust and even pieces of the frame are being thrown hundreds of feet. And you can see that how far they went, because when the rubble, if you look down on the photos from the airplane, they took some photos. You know, after it all had collapsed, they flew over and took some photos. And you can see what looks like tinsel scattered all over the rooftops of nearby buildings. And those are some of the aluminum pieces from the outer walls of the building. They were thrown hundreds of feet. And so if these buildings had just fallen, if you picture just a building, think of the room you're in. Most of a building is air. It's just empty space. So if it's falling down, if one floor falls down onto the floor below it, they're saying it cracked, and then that floor cracked. But when they crack like that, most of the building is empty air, so they're just going to fall straight down. They're not going to be going out horizontally. You know, when one floor hits another one, it's not going to fly out the window 200 feet.
And then there'd be big chunks of concrete, nothing but dust.
And plus, if you think of 110 floors, one floor hitting another, and then hitting the next one below that, it's like a ball rolling down the stairs. It's going to be a bang, bang, bang. And let's assume it takes 1 second per floor. That would be 110 seconds. That's almost 2 minutes for it to fall down. But if you look at the videotapes and the seismic data, the scientists were saying, according to the seismic data, it was about 8 to 10 seconds. 8 to 10 seconds, 110 floors just pulverized themselves. And so what was going on is that they were falling as fast as objects free fall. If you were to stand at the top of those World Trade Centers and drop a rock off the edge, it would take about 8 to 10 seconds for it to hit the ground. And so that means these floors were falling as fast as objects fall, just free-falling. So how were they hitting? How was one floor banging into the next? There was no resistance here. One floor didn't hit the floor below it and then slow down a bit. There was no resistance at all, which again supports the theory that what was really going on is that explosives were going off slightly ahead of the falling debris, so that as the floors were falling, just in front of it, just below it, were the explosives going off. So the debris never hit the floors below it. It was all being shattered in 8 to 10 seconds. It was just the whole buildings were being shattered by explosives. And that's where the dust came from, and that's where the heat came from, and that's why there were no pieces of the building when it was all over with. And no pieces of office furnishings. No pieces of people. The fire department some of the firemen were saying the biggest things they found were pieces of telephone pads. Not even the entire telephone, but just pieces of the pads. So it was a sign that the entire building must have been loaded with explosives, even down into the basement.
But, of course, you can see the hand of the CIA in this, because they're trying to convince us it is the Arab terrorists. So one of the Arab terrorist passports flips out of the plane. I've always suggested maybe they rolled down the window, they threw out the passport, and the Arab terrorist passport is found about a block and a half away from the World Trade Center, laying there on the ground. Now, how many of you honestly believe that happened? And yet, of course, the CIA wants us, or at least the government wants us to believe that. The same thing happened in Pennsylvania. One of the terrorist passports survived this flaming inferno. Just a little singe, and they even had that up on the FBI webpage for a time. And then I figured they probably thought, gee, maybe the American people aren't that stupid. Maybe they're going to wonder why everything else was incinerated, but the Arab terrorist passport. When you see these things, you know this is a CIA disinformation. Now, if there's nothing to conceal, why are they putting out disinformation? And I think the answer should be very obvious. There is something to conceal. Did the president know? Did Dick Cheney know? I don't know what they knew. But I do know that many times intelligence organizations work independently without permission from the highest level so that there can be no recriminations at the top. Go ahead, Eric.
Well, and also, besides the passport that flew out magically, there was all the information left in the car at the airport.
And I even heard that there was a Bible that was left open at the Pennsylvania site, you know, and it was open to a very, very significant verse. I've forgotten what it was. Everything else incinerated, but the passport and a Bible. And
that's
sort of touching, you know. It was, people said it miraculous. Or maybe, of course, if you checked it for fingerprints, you might find CIA fingerprints on it.
Right. And then, of course, some of the people they've identified as hijackers were turning up alive, which makes you wonder, where are they even getting the names in the first place?
Well, of course, they had all of the names within a few hours, because if you heard Kristen Breitweiser's testimony, within hours of the attack, the FBI, which had no idea who any of these people were, didn't even know they were in the country, was at the restaurants where they ate, at the neighborhoods where they lived, at the flight schools that they attended. How could they know all those things why would these people use their regular names? And they claim that they're on the manifest, but the manifests were published on the Internet, and none of those names were on the Internet. So you have to ask yourself why, and why was there only each one of those planes was only 25% full, and who knew ahead of time and shorted the stocks for United Airlines and American Airlines and J.P. Morgan, both in the United States and in Europe? Somebody knew ahead of time what was going to happen.
Right, that stock market investigation is interesting because somebody has the authority to stop investigations in more than one country, which goes to show you this is a big organization. This is an organization with a lot of influence.
Well, because they had to have an incident to get us into the war. The American people didn't want to go to war on September 10th, but by September 12th we were ready to go to war. And most people think we were going to go to war to get the wicked Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan. So what are we doing in Iraq? Because that's what it was all about to begin with. That's why we had to have an incident so the American people would send their boys off to die in Iraq.
Right, exactly. And then we left Afghanistan apparently as soon as the new group, the Northern Alliance,
Northern Alliance. The communists, we actually turned Afghanistan back over to the communists we fought all there in the 1980s. The Northern Alliance is communist, and the man who has his own army and is the Minister of Defense in Karzai's government is a lifelong communist.
Right. I know. We turn on our former friends, help our former enemies, and then as soon as they sign the pipeline deal, we're out of there and off to Iraq.
And there is Osama bin Laden. Where is Osama? We don't know, but I tell you what, we haven't tried to get him until recently, and I'm not even sure we've really tried to get him recently, but they certainly did a pretty good job of that. Well, let's get back to your pictures there of the buildings, and these really are amazing pictures. You see these things literally being blown out hundreds and hundreds of feet transversely, horizontally from the point where the building that where it begins to collapse. Is that right?
Yes, and even both towers did this. It wasn't just one of them, both of them. And the North Tower especially, it's unbelievable the pieces that went flying off that one. The only one that really didn't send pieces flying was Building 7. That one looks exactly like a conventional demolition. The towers were not conventional. They were starting from the top and going down, but Building 7 was like conventional demolition where the bottom is doing the collapsing and it's just falling straight. So the building 7 did not send pieces flying outward. It was more like a conventional demolition.
And what a bit so frightening is nobody ever asked, why did Building 6 come down? Why did Building 7 come down? Well, what we have to do and what your book and video do is try to get the American people to think. And that's the hardest thing when they're so distracted by so many other things and the news is used so effectively to manipulate their emotions.
Right, and also, like you said about the distractions, you know, all they have to do is get people to fight with each other over something like race or men and women or fight over abortion. Or they're always bringing something out and then getting people distracted by it. So, you know, if they can keep people fighting with each other and arguing over issues or entertained by these strange court cases, they won't even be thinking about what happened on that day. And they won't even notice what their government's doing.
In fact, I'm reading the book by Richard Clark, Against All Enemies, and I'm not saying if it was written by the CIA, but if it wasn't written by the CIA, I just don't know how they could have come to some of the conclusions that they did. And so now we see the conflict between the administration and Richard Clark, and we're all wound up in this. Is Richard Clark good or bad? And the issue, it takes us so far away of, what are we doing in Iraq? Why are we fighting there? Saddam was a wicked man, but one time he worked for the CIA, and you want the documentation on that, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Eric, give that telephone number once again where people can get your book.
Okay, that one is at the Power Hour Show. They're selling it at 877-817-9829. And you can also get it from Alex Jones or just from my own website.
God bless you. Bye-bye, Eric. Thanks
okay,
so much.
Bye.
Would you believe that there is an organized effort to dumb down children all across America? As we see falling SAT scores, it's very easy to say, well, gee, we need to just spend more money. That'll solve our problem. Ladies and gentlemen, that won't solve the problem at all, because there is an organized program within the hierarchy of education to dumb down our children intentionally. Outcome-Based Education is a fascinating book written by Pamela Hobbs Hopker and Pat Lutzik, going into the background of the program of the humanists who gained control of the educational establishment of the United States to change the attitude of our children, to change their attitude towards God and family and country. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Outcome-Based Education. Once you understand what they're doing to your children, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I have to tell you about the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light water filters we have. We think they're a great item, and this is why we carry them. We actually have a Berkey Light ourselves. This is a water filter, and if you ever got into sort of a situation where you couldn't depend on the water supply, or you want to go off from the mountains someplace, it's portable. You can take it with you, but you can keep it right there at your home as well. And you can filter pool water or pond water or river water or lake water, and it'll take out the herbicides and the pesticides, most of them, and the bacteria and the chlorine, and you'll have just potable water. It's a great thing to have in every home. Now, the Big Berkey is made out of stainless steel. It has filters that are ceramic, and they packed with activated charcoal, and you can use clean those over and over again. You can even boil them and get the impurities out of the carbon. Now, the Big Berkey, unfortunately, the price has gone up to $279. It was $239. It's now $279. It's available in every state of the Union except California and Iowa. However, there is the Berkey Light. It's made of Lexan, so you can actually see the water level, which I like. The filters are two filters. They call the Black Berkey filters, and they really purify the water. They just they do a wonderful job, except they have to be replaced every 2 to 3 years. And so if you'd like to see pictures of them, they're on our website at radioliberty.com. The Berkey Light is $199. Now, if you want to get the lights on the bottom of it, that's an extra $60. We got the lights. We've never used them. If you want to get them, they're really be wonderful if you had no other source of light. But I think the Berkey Light, you can always get the lights at a later time. The Berkey Light's $199. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do it. We do 5 hours every day as we reach out across America with the information you're not going to get elsewhere. And then if you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter, which will tell you what happened at the secret meetings of the cabinet in January and February of 2001, when the Bush administration first came in, 8 to 9 months before the 9/11 attack, why, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a free copy of the newsletter, because you can't understand why we're in Iraq today unless you understand what they were talking about at those cabinet meetings. And, of course, you can get this off the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. It'll be up there in a week or so. Of course, if you pull it down there, you won't help us at all. But we certainly give you our permission to pull it down off the Internet. And you can make copies of it. You can make copies of anything that we have made as long as you're not selling it as a profit, because we want to get the word out. We want to get the American people to see what's going on. We want to mobilize the American people and try to save this country. So we hope that you'll give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Get a copy of the newsletter. Perhaps you'll want to subscribe or join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. But go to our website. You can listen to our programs there 5 hours every day on this network, on the Radio Liberty Network, on the American Freedom Network. There are links there and lists of all the stations we're on. We're about 60 stations or outlets every week. We're reaching an awful lot of people, but believe me, it's an expensive proposition. Our weekend program, a Saturday program, goes to 35 stations across America, where at least for half an hour a week, people are getting the truth they're not going to get elsewhere. Now, we hope many of you will want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or the Brotherhood of Darkness Special, which is the book, the video, and the audio tape for $29.95, that you'll want to get my video, Iraq, the Untold Story, because it will document for you that all of the wars of the last century were contrived, just as this war is contrived. And we'll give you the documentation from their website. And who are they? The Project for the New American Century, made up of men like Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, John Bolton. And you can read what they were writing back in 1998 about the necessity of going to war with Saddam Hussein, what they were reading, what their organization was writing in the year 2000 or 2001, early, about the necessity for an incident like a catastrophic or catalytic event like another Pearl Harbor. That's their words, not mine. A catastrophic or catalyzing event like another Pearl Harbor. Well, we had that, didn't we, on September the 11th, and the American people were ready to go to war. And that's how you get people behind a war, to send their boys overseas to fight and die. Are you ready to have the draft and take your kids? Men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And this is the beginning of World War III. And we're inflaming the anger of the Islamic world against the United States, and really so much of the rest of the world against the United States. And it is not happening by accident. And if you haven't read Samuel Huntington's treatise, his book, or his article, Clash of Civilizations, you're going to need to get that, and we'll be covering that in subsequent newsletters, where they teach us that you must hate what you are not if you are to love what you are. We must hate what we are not, if we are to love what we are. What a terrible thing, but it's all built upon generating hate. This is what this is all about. And the Islamic people burn and mutilate our people and hang them from a bridge, and we hate them just as they hate us. And that's what they're trying to engender. That's how you get a world war going. It's a terrible thing to contemplate, but this is what's happening. We plead with you, get the information, and join with us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation under God can long endure. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty. For our provision and protection, remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.